Come on, tell somebody. Tell them, say, shake it off. Just shake it off. Just shake it off. Tell your neighbor. I may not know three things. I may not even know two things. But one thing I know.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana, Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Kempsey, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Kempsey, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II, preaching the uncompromised word of God. Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for the message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to Psalms 119, verse 11. Psalm 119, verse 11. Recorded are these words. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. I want to talk about a treasured truth. A treasured truth. One of the things that's so important about this word is understanding the psalmist's desire to be close with God, to be near God, to be intimate with God, not to know him in some far off fashion, some non ability to fellowship, but in a nurturing manner. When he talks about this word, it's so important because there are some things about this word I pray that you will discover when we go into the text and unfold it for your benefit. There are some things about this verse that should help us to treasure God's word for ourselves. We have Bibles and we study or have study meetings, but how do we really receive the word? How do we really approach the word? Do we really recognize that this is the divinely inspired written word of God that was spoken by God to men who penned what he said, that this word is just as much God as God is. That this word represents God in the fullness, that he honors his word and wants us to honor his word. You know, people talk about, I want to get closer to God. Do you? Do you really want to get closer? Well, how do you plan to do that? Move up into an area of our earth where you're geographically closer to him? I mean, how do you plan to get closer to him? Because the real way that you become closer to God is through his word and his spirit that we have fellowship with, that draws us closer in a spiritual context. And so you've got to know the heart of God, the mind of God, the will of God, the way of God, but you learn it through the word of God. You get to know what God likes and what God doesn't like. You get to know what God wants and what he doesn't want. You get to know how God feels and what he doesn't like about certain things. You get to understand his position on matters. You get to understand it from God's point of view when you learn God's word. That's one of the reasons why the devil don't want you to know God's word. Because God's people err because of a lack of knowledge, a lack of understanding God's word, a lack of not knowing what he means and what he wants. It is a lack of it that causes us to falter. And so you can't just pick up the Bible once a week, although that's better than most Christians, and expect that you're going to be spiritually healthy and strong no more than you could eat once a week and think that you would be physically healthy and strong. You've got to realize it's got to be a daily exercise. That you have got to meditate upon his word day and night. That means every day and night. That means that you speak his word, you mutter his word, you're talking his word to your spirit man, inner man, and it comes back to your man. People think you're talking to yourself. You're talking to me? No, I'm not talking to you. Because the word is filtering through you. And yet, it's becoming more and more a part of you. Look at what the psalmist says. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. What does this verse tell us from the onset? First of all, it talks about the preeminence of the word, because this is a most important reality of God that is important and takes first place position in our lives. It did in the psalmist's life. That's why he says, thy word. He puts it on the top shelf, preeminent. So when he talks about the preeminence of the word, he also talks about it with passion for the word. Have I hid in mine heart? Well, you usually put stuff in your heart that's valuable to you. Might not be valuable to nobody else, but to you, it's valuable. You tuck it away in that place where you can go back and deal with it on a reoccurring basis. So he's talking about passion for the word. But then there is a purpose for the word, because he says, that I might not sin against thee. So that's the purpose for having the passion for this preeminent word, thy word. Well, Romans 4:17 says it's a prophetic word. Because a portion of that verse says God quickeneth and calleth those things that be not as though they were. It's a prophetic word. Say prophetic word. Thy word is a prophetic word. But then when you keep on moving on through it, you'll find out that Matthew calls it a promised word. In the 5th chapter and the 18th verse, because he says, heaven and earth will pass away before one jot or tittle is fulfilled in this word. or is unfulfilled. In other words, everything is going to come to pass that he said will happen according to his word. You will discover that earth, planet earth, will fail first before God's world fail. That's a promise. Say promised word. Thy word is a promised word. In other words, whatever God has said in his word, he's big enough to back it up. And nothing can prevent him from bringing his promises to pass. See, that's enough reason to be shouting right there. Because I do believe God has made some believers a promise that he may not yet have delivered, but you ought to have hope in knowing that you ain't going nowhere till the promise has come to pass. That it's going to happen, heaven and earth. I said earth first, but I don't want you to forget he did say heaven also. So that means everything has got to be of non-effect and non-existence for God's word to fail. And before all of that happens, he'll bring it to pass. Amen. But not only is it a prophetic word and a promised word, thy word, but Hebrews 4 and 12 say it's a powerful word. For the word of God is quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged. Are y'all here with me this morning? It's a powerful word. So no wonder David says, thy word. And so much more is this word. Have I hid in mine heart. One of the things that I want you to know is the word hid means to treasure or to store up. It means to treasure or to store up. See, it would read like this if it was translated into the word store. Thy word have I stored in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Well, if it's used as treasure, then it would sound like this. Thy word have I treasured in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. And so when you begin to know the power of the word, the promise of the word, the prophetic inspiration of the word, you begin to treasure this word because you know the word represents God, and that word is so powerful and so priceless that you don't carelessly handle it. You don't leave it on the coffee table, don't leave it on the dashboard, you don't leave it hanging around. You tuck it in your heart. You literally get the words off of paper and make them come alive in your heart. So even if you leave the Bible, you still got the word. If they took the Bible from you, they can't take the word from you because it's in your heart. You don't have it where nobody can readily get it and take it away from you, because every Sunday, every Bible study, when you are taught the word, the enemy is right there waiting to try and take the word from you. But if you can tuck it in your heart, underneath the skin where they can't reach it, can't grab it, can't see it, it becomes a part of you. It meshes with your inner man. Notice the word heart. This means the inner man. It means the mind, the will, the understanding. Thy word have I hid in my inner man. Thy word have I hid in my mind. Thy word have I hid in my understanding. Thy word have I hid in my will. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. Listen at this now. So when he says thy word, I think I need to tell you it's a sacred word. Sacred word. Not talking about a secular word, talking about a sacred word. No secular words get the place of the preeminent word. It's in the closest, most dearest place underneath my skin. Listen to what he says. Have I hid? Nobody tucked it away and kept the combination, so I don't even know. I have hid it. many times, my brothers and sisters, have you hid stuff so good that you forgot where you've hid it? Now, that the kind of hid he talking about. That hid where you hide it and you forget. No, this hiding is for safekeeping. It's that hiding where you make sure you find the right place. And you go in your safe and you pull it out and you read it some more. Get happy, put it back in. Go on about your business and you come back. You just do what you got to do. But do whenever you get some free time, you're back there in the safe in your heart pulling that thing out. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. I get to see what the end going to be. I'm going through hell, but I'm on my way to heaven. Ooh, glory. You might be broke, but he tells you you are rich, and he make it rich and add no sorrow with it. You hide it in your heart, and you go back to it and back to it and back to it and back to it till it encourages you and pulls you to a place where you are able to understand why his word is so valuable. So one, not only is it a sacred word, but it's a stored word. It is purposely put away in the place, listen at this, that controls your activities in your heart, in your inner man, in your mind, in your will, in your understanding. See, if you put the word of God there where it makes a difference in your daily life, you put the word where it makes a difference in your thoughts, you put the word where it makes a difference in your desires. You put the word of God where it makes a difference in your actions. You put the word of God where it makes a difference in your decisions and everything that you do. Listen, that word is going to make a difference in you because it is in your heart. A stored word. But what I thank God for is the fact that it's not just word stored, and it's not just a word that's sacred, but the end of this verse tells us it's a settled word. Listen, that I might not sin against thee. Might not sin against thee. It's a prophetic word, a promised word. It is a powerful word, so that I might prize that word because it is a profitable word. Therefore, it is a protected word in mine heart. And it is there so that the sole purpose of understanding that I want to be more like him, that I might not. In other words, I want to change my old way. I'm getting more into him so I can get less of me in this thing. I want to do it the way he wants to do it. So in order to do it the way he wants it done, I got to read more about him. So I can walk like he walks and talk like he talks, act like he acts, think like he thinks, do like he does. I want to put it in me so I can resemble him. Emulate him. It becomes all about him. So I can truly say the things I used to do, I don't do no more. And until I get to the do no more, I want to say don't do as often. Don't do as much. Don't do it like I used to do it. Even if I do it. I need there to be something happening on the inside of me because of this word. I used to do it and didn't have a conscience. Now if I do it, my conscience just keeps on eating at me. And I find myself, I used to smoke a pack a day. Not me, literally, somebody saying this. But now I don't smoke but three or four. And I'm trying to get down to one. And after one, it's going to be none. But I just thank God there is a difference that I can see. And you'll begin to see in every area of your life, you'll be saying this. That I can't speak for everybody else. Might not sin against thee. Isn't that the psalmist is so excited about this word? Till he goes off into the next verse, and I ain't going there, but he said, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. He gets so excited. Listen, when this thing starts getting good to you, you don't need the soaps and you don't need the game shows and you don't need the music and you don't need all of this stuff. All you really need is a fellowship. No wonder the songwriter says, what a fellowship. What a joy. Divine leaning on the everlasting arm. When you begin to know what it is to fellowship with the Lord, my, how time flies away. And you desire more and more to be like him. That I might not sin against thee. When it all comes down to it, you want to please the Father. You can tell when you're growing and maturing. Because it no longer becomes what they think. But it becomes more about what he thinks. It no longer becomes what they want. I'm trying to do what they want me to do. No, I'm trying to do what he wants me to do. You know, you want folk to like you and feel good about you, but it don't even matter after a while. Because what matters most is how he feels about you and whether or not you please him. And if you know that you please him, the Bible says he'll make even your enemies. When a man ways pleases the Lord, he'll make even his enemies to be at peace with him. In other words, they still don't like him, but they can't do nothing about him. They can't do nothing with him. They can talk about him, lie on him, they knock him down and he bounce back higher. They can't mess with him without messing with him. And so you begin to realize that I might not sin against thee, you, God. And my brother, my sisters, this treasure truth is what God wants for each one of us. To start this new year off right, to get ourselves together, let's treasure the truth of God's word. And desire to be what God wants us to be. And he'll show us through his word what his will is. He'll show us through his word what his way is. And we can't go wrong with the word of the Lord.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry. Partner with this ministry. and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina, Alexandria.
God bless you, and God keep you living in a world of confusion, a mixed-up world in the midst of mixed emotions.
Yes, sir.
A sinful world, a world where wars are going on and the rumors of war. I thought I would call your attention to the 18th chapter, the book of St. John. Let us notice the 18th verse. St. John 18th chapter, the 18th verse.
I see.
And the servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coal, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself.
He did that.
Our message today, build your own fire. Build your own fire. Why don't you say it after me? Build your own fire. God bless you. Our Lord Jesus Christ here during the time of our text had already been convicted and arrested. He was taken before Pilate to be judged. His disciples went along with him to the judgment hall. John, one of his very close friends, followed Jesus all the way on the inside. But Peter stopped on the outside near the door where some of the officers of the enemy had built a fire and were warming themselves. John says here it was very cold. You see, there are two types of coldness, of physical coldness, and you have to look at the spiritual coldness. Evidently here, Peter was cold both ways. We notice in and around Jerusalem during the time of the text, the temperature around Jerusalem had fallen below zero, both inside and outside. If a person had gotten cold, there was not but one way for him to get warm. He had to build his own fire, or warm by somebody else's fire.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The enemies of Jesus here, we notice, had built their own fire.
Yes, sir.
And we notice here, when Jesus passed by, they were standing there warming by the fire. John went in with Jesus, but Peter was so cold he couldn't wait. Therefore, he stopped outside and began warming by the wrong fire.
Yes,
he warmed by the wrong fire at the wrong time, in the wrong place, and with the wrong people. We'll find here today that we can get a great lesson out of this message. For don't you see, if a child of God gets cold,